It gets really confusing really fast, but having guidance from somebody who has experience and who is like working professionally will help a lot. At the end of the day, you can price your art or your work at whatever you want.
Hey, Wiki Hunters, welcome back to the Art of Photography podcast, where we share artists' journey and show how we can give hope, purpose, and happiness. And today we have someone special, someone who's been in the photography, travel and landscape photography scene for a long, long time, someone who's been very respected in this place. And today I want to introduce John Weatherby. John, welcome to the podcast. Very excited to have you here. How things on your end? I know you're in New York and at the moment. What's going on?
Not much. I'm in New York right now. I am taking a break from van life. I'm usually traveling in my Sprinter van for the most part, but I like to take a break now and then and rent a place in a big city like New York, because it's just the opposite of van life. Van life can be very remote and inconvenient sometimes, which can be good. But if you're, trying to check out from the busy world, but New York is like the opposite of that. So just striking a balance, and usually take this time to get caught up on work and filming and stuff like that, where I need like a consistent space.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know you got, you have a really nice backdrop there, and man, van life is awesome. It's something that is in my bucket list. Before COVID, I wanted to drive down to South America. Actually, it was literally a week before everything closed down. Before I was gonna go out. So yeah, man, I'm gonna make it back there one day. But that's awesome. So before we get into depth into what are your journey, some of the things that you have been doing in the photography space, share with us a little bit about you. What got you into photography? Like, how do you fall in love with photography, and what made you stay?
Yeah, okay. So when I was finishing school, I was working as a waiter, and I've always been kind of entrepreneurial. So I made an arrangement with the restaurant that I worked at to basically manage their social media, or not manage, but post on it periodically. And I would take photos of the food for their Instagram, basically. So I was taking photos of sushi at this restaurant, and then I worked out a trade basically to where I could take photos of the food and then eat for free, basically. So a professional photographer came into the restaurant one day, and he took photos for the menu. And he had this whole elaborate setup. He had, professional gear, Nikon prime lenses. He had the flash with the umbrellas and all this stuff. So when I saw the photos that he took compared to my iPhone photos, I was like blown away. So that was my first, I guess, like exposure to photography. And then when I realized that like I wanted to step my own game up, I reached out to him and got advice on what kind of camera to buy. So I started taking photos at the restaurant first with, a DSLR. And then I started getting curious, and I started going out and taking photos of the skyline around Tampa. I'm from Tampa, Florida. And then people started noticing the photos that I was sharing of this Tampa skyline and asking to buy prints of them. So that, set up a light bulb, like, oh, wow, I get money from this. And then people started reaching out to me, asking me to do photo shoots. So I would get asked to do like headshots for people, or take, real estate photos, family photos and stuff like that. So I started doing that as like a side hustle. And through the advice of a mentor, he told me basically, if you really like photography, continue to work at the restaurant post-graduation and just take on more and more clients until you get so busy that you could leave the restaurant and do photography for work. So that's what I did. And I started doing commercial photography around Tampa Bay. And you know, I realized I can make pretty good money with that. So I had a little studio space for a while, and I was doing work with clients like commercial stuff and lifestyle stuff. And then I started using those funds to travel. And, you know, through traveling, I fell in love with, you know, travel and landscape photography. So, you know, one, the commercial stuff became a means to the end. I was, you know, flying home to Tampa, you know, booking multiple shoots back to back within a week or two so that I can make money, and then travel as long as I could on that money, go back and repeat the cycle until I eventually realized how I can make money through landscape and travel photography, right? So started doing workshops. I started booking shoots in different places for commercial clients to where I could, you know, go to Iceland and take some photos, you know, for example, of a product, or work with a company to use their product to take photos, or, you know, create content for their marketing and stuff like that in different places. And then eventually I started teaching photography more, doing workshops and creating courses, and, you know, created a plugin for Photoshop. And that's where I'm at today.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a journey. It started with the sushi. You must have liked the sushi there, hey?
Started off with sushi, now we're here, man.
Fantastic. Yeah. That is awesome. Honestly, I've heard a lot of stories how people started photography. Never ever I heard it started with the sushi. And that's just incredible how, you know, you go from taking photo with an iPhone at a sushi place to where you are today.
That's where things will lead. It's crazy looking back how all the dots connected, you know. But
yeah, and that's awesome, because, you know, I think a lot of people are very impatient, and, you know, when they look at, oh man, I'm not there, and, you know, they just like, oh, I don't think I'm gonna make it, or, you know, what's wrong with me, or why can't I make it? As you say, you know, looking back, connecting the dots and seeing how it all transpired to where it bring you today, I think that's a really powerful message. Now, you say you were post-grad, you know, and you're working at the restaurant and you're doing this at a side hustle. What were you studying back then?
I was studying advertising and public relations. So my original plan was to become like an account manager for like an ad agency. So that was kind of my idea. I actually did an internship while I was in school. And then, you know, I realized through that it was at a marketing agency, and I realized that's not really what I was interested in. You know, like sitting at a desk 9 to 5 every day was pretty dreadful. So I love, you know, the change of scenery. I love, you know, taking on different projects and, you know, switching things up and not necessarily having a routine. So photography definitely provided that for me versus, you know, sitting at a desk and doing the same stuff every single day. Like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that's awesome. And
kind of related, you know, advertising and photography and all that stuff, content creation.
Yeah. And so, you know, when it comes to, you shared earlier that, you know, you're going through a different phase in the photography and started from just, I guess you were kind of leaning in from that ad and PR side of it, doing it for someone else for that sushi restaurant. And then you kind of transition across. What were some of the biggest challenges that you have to making this full-time as a photographer?
Yeah. So, well, first and foremost, you know, getting clients, right? Which I luckily cracked that piece kind of by accident because, you know, I found out the power of social media. So when people started seeing me share my photos with Tampa, that gained exposure in my community and made people in Tampa aware of my services, right? So luckily I figured that out early on, is that, you know, social media is really powerful for getting in front of people organically. And, you know, if you do it correctly, you can, you know, target people that are interested in your services specifically, right? So that's one piece to it. Another piece was just figuring out like business, right? Like, I'm a creative. So learning the ins and outs of business, you know, being organized and learning pricing and negotiation, communication, all this stuff is something that doesn't come naturally to creatives, I feel like. So, you know, you really do have to learn that stuff. But luckily there's lots of resources online. You can take on a mentor. I reached out to a lot of different photographers when I was just starting out to get advice on pricing and working with clients. So I had a service background, right? Like I worked in the service industry. I was a waiter. So luckily I did have a lot of experience working with people, you know, talking to strangers, interacting and giving good customer service, you know, providing a good experience. So that was something that came a little more natural. But even when I started actually working as a waiter, you know, I had no experience with that. And that was a very awkward and uncomfortable start. So I think if somebody who is getting into the industry and working with clients, you know, is just starting up, that could be a challenge as well. So yeah, I think the biggest challenge really is figuring out how to make money, how to monetize your passions, and then how to price those, right? And also, you know, establishing the value, right? Like believing in your value, how much you're worth and what you can charge and all that stuff. That's all mindset. So I think mindset's a big piece to it. You know, your belief about what is possible, you know, needs to be huge, and you can work on that. You can grow that and gain confidence and charging and your abilities through practice and through reaching out to people who have experience that can share their experience, right?
Yeah, that's a really eye opener there. I know that it took me a long time to realize that the entrepreneur mindset or a photopreneur mindset, a lot of us like to call it, versus the artistic mindset is direct opposite. One of them is idealistic. One of them is trial and error, right? Minimum viable product. And a lot of the whole mindset is basically direct opposite of, you know, and this is probably one of the reason why it's very difficult for artists to make it without having that business background. Now, I love what you say there. I think there's a couple of things that you say that really, three things actually, that's really important, which is first, you say believing in your value, second, the mindset, and third, the confidence behind your product, right? Behind what you're going to charge. Now, I guess everyone would argue that those three things is probably one of the hardest thing that we need to do, you know, especially as a photographer, as a creator, as an artist. There's a lot of imposter syndrome, you know, a lot of, yeah, just like this internal stuff going on. What would be, let's first talk about confidence, right? Because I think, like, you know, value goes back to confidence. How do you gain that confidence when you first started, right? How do you gain that confidence so that when you put yourself out there, when you put your value out there, people can actually see and believe the value?
You gain confidence through experience and knowledge, right? So like the more that you do something, the better you're going to get at it, the more comfortable you're going to feel doing it, and the more confident you're going to be, right? So at first, you're going to need to fake it, basically, right? I mean, you can learn. So what I used to do is when somebody would reach out to me for a service that I didn't have experience with, I would find a tutorial. I would go on YouTube, find videos. I would find somebody who's selling a course on architecture photography, on headshot photography, on food photography, product photography, right? I would learn everything that I could so that I could basically do that job as best as I could. But there is an element of like faking it till you make it as well, right? So you kind of have to just, you have to feel uncomfortable. You have to try and do the best you can and then keep practicing. And as you learn more and you practice what you learn, you're going to become better. And as you become better, you're going to be more confident, right? So yeah, in my opinion, the confidence comes from the experience and the knowledge. And the more that you can learn and the more you can implement what you learn, the more confident you're going to be. But yeah, there is kind of like a, I honestly like, I felt so uncomfortable when people would reach out to me for, you know, a service that I hadn't really learned or like become good at yet. But I would just have to be like, yeah, sure, I can do that, you know, and then I would just be freaking out in my mind, but like learning everything I could. And then, yeah, eventually it just becomes comfortable.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I think that's the scariest thing for us to do is just to go out there, expose ourselves, be uncomfortable and grow from actually taking action, right? Right. That's incredible. I love hearing that. Now, going back to the value side of things, right? Pricing and valuing your service, valuing your art, you know, whether it's prints, whether it's a commercial service, how do you go about that? Because we see this a lot in the space where people are either undercutting their own price because, you know, they either don't value their own product or their own self, or sometimes they just even give it for free, right? With no strategy on how to monetize that. And for that reason, most creators feel like, well, I can't make it in this industry. Like, what's going on? Like, you know, I don't know, this is not for me, et cetera, et cetera. So what are some of your take on value, on building a value behind your product and services so that you can get paid for the value that you actually give?
Yeah. Well, okay. So going back to like the experience and becoming better and better, the better that you get, the more you're going to increase your belief in how valuable you are. But something you have to remember as well is that, you know, you're creating value for people, whether that's art on their walls or photos for their business, for marketing, you're creating value. And yeah, I think you can increase your value by becoming better, you know, through experience. But it's tough because you're going to look at other people in the industry and compare, and you're going to think, oh, wow, they're way better than me. You know, I need to charge less than them. That's kind of how I looked at it at first. I would look for people who were offering the same services as me and see what they were charging and kind of like gauge myself compared to them and then charge accordingly, right? I don't think that's really the healthiest way, especially because your perception of your work is going to be different from other people's perception. I used to reach out to photographers in different fields and get advice, right? Like when I first started doing commercial photography, I reached out to commercial photographers and asked about day rates and, you know, what to include in those, whether it was just the shooting, how many hours was I going to include editing? If I was going to not include editing, how much was I charging for that? How much was I charging for licensing for different, you know, things? And it gets really confusing really fast. But having guidance from somebody who has experience and who is like working professionally will help a lot. At the end of the day, you can price your art or your work at whatever you want, whatever you know you value, you think. And I mean, people will pay you according to your own belief as well. Like, you know, you can establish value through a lot of different ways. You can demonstrate it, right? You know, whether your services are in demand, who you've worked with, you know, your experience, the quality, that's subjective, but you know, everybody's going to have a different perception of that. And honestly, I think that photographers have a higher perception of what quality is compared to the clients, right? Because I see a lot of bad work that's getting paid a lot of money for sometimes, you know. But I think that the value goes back to the self-belief. What you believe your work is worth is what you're going to get. And if you really truly believe and you can increase that belief and that increase in your value, you can warrant high prices for your art and your work. and people will gladly pay that. So there's no, concrete, you know, answer for that. There's licensing models, you know, there's like rates, like standard rates, and you can tell people $400 for that print behind you right now, and one person's going to say that's way too much and outside of my budget, and another person's going to say, great, I'll take five of them, you know. So it's just, there's no rhyme or reason.
That is awesome, man. That is awesome. I mean, there's couple of things that you say. I was just like busy typing here, you know, make sure I make note of this. But there's a couple of things that I really love what you say there, that you can charge whatever you want for your art. I think a lot of people really benchmark themselves with other, you know, the benchmark in this space, and that kind of limit them to what is possible. And yeah, that's just awesome. That's a really eye opener. And you know, you say how what you believe become your reality, how what you believe and you're confident to put out there is basically what you can charge. And I really hope, you know, the audience really take note right here, because this is just incredible, man. That's awesome. And
so clarify something. So, or you made me think of something. I mean, you can increase your value in a lot of different ways outside of the quality of your work. Just like you can provide value in so many different ways, whether it's good customer experience, good, you know, customer service. Maybe you're throwing in something extra that wasn't included in the quote. You know, maybe, you know, you're sending a handwritten thank you note after somebody buys the print. I mean, the more value you provide, the more you can charge, right? So like, I think it's creating a great experience for a client as well, whether that's art or a photo shoot or anything, you can increase your value in a lot of different ways. So sorry, you
that
just
is
think of that, because like, you could compare yourself to somebody else, but you might not be doing what somebody else is doing, right? You could be providing a better service. You could, you know, be mixing your own personality and your own like gifts and talents that this other person doesn't have into your services. And for that reason, you don't charge what other people charge. You know what I mean?
Yes. Look, don't apologize, please, because these are golden nuggets right here. It's very, very important. You know, I always say to my students that who you are become what is your unique value proposition. And you really explain that very well, you know. And I think a lot of us as creators think that the value is always in the service and the photography. But what you say there is incredibly eye-opening for many artists, is that you can literally just by giving a better customer service than other artists, you can put your value a little bit higher, a little bit out there. So, man, I'm glad that you thought of that, because that was a great little advice right there. Now, I want to talk about the imposter syndrome a little bit. I know that, you know, we as an artist, we're very perfectionist. And just like you say, you know, I had my own experience myself where I was I thought I could never make money from my photography until I get every little pixel right. Yeah. And then you start looking at what people are selling, and you're surprised how those artwork can sell, how those services can sell, and it become an eye opener. Now, what would you say to people that have that sort of doubts where, man, I don't know if I'm good enough to put my work out there and be able to charge for it?
I would say that that's a mindset thing. So for me, okay, so I did a deep dive into personal development when I first started working as a photographer. So some books that come to mind are like Think and Grow Rich, you know, the Science of Getting Rich, Wallace Wattles, you know, Tony Robbins, Trying to think of some other off the top of my head. Bob Proctor has been huge for me. I have every single book by Bob Proctor. I've done coaching through Bob Proctor. And, you know, if you go on YouTube and look up Bob Proctor, just go down the rabbit hole of his videos and you're gonna really develop your mindset, right? So imposter syndrome, it's a lack of confidence. And I mean, it's just building that confidence, building that experience and your belief and, like, you know, the value you provide and the quality. So I saw something the other day actually that I really liked, and it had to do with imposter syndrome. Somebody posted a quote in their Instagram story, and it was like, whenever you're dealing with imposter syndrome and, like, your lack of belief of, like, your value, just think somebody out there is doing something that's less quality than what you're doing and charging more, and they have no idea what they're doing, but they're faking it. You know, they're failing their way through it successfully. So I don't think that was the exact quote, but yeah, basically, like, you kind of just have to fake it till you make it, till you really do make it and believe, right? Like, going back to the waiting tables thing, I realized very quickly that when I was interacting with the table, when I was a waiter and I was nervous, that there was, like, an uncomfortable feeling, and, like, you know, the whole interaction was very awkward and uncomfortable. So I realized that I just had to just act comfortable, confident, and then it was reciprocated. Like, there was a comfortable feeling, right? So I really do believe that it's just a matter of, you know, when those thoughts come up, you say, you know, cancel this thought. I choose not to believe this. I choose to believe that I am capable and valuable, and my work is amazing, and I know what I'm doing, right? Like, you almost brainwash yourself through, you know, building the belief that, you know, you can do whatever you want, that you eventually can, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you mentioned that. No, that's great. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I experienced that myself, where self-development is really in the cornerstone of success, that most of the time it's not our work, it's not our gear, it's not even the quality of our work, it's just who we are and how our self-limiting belief. And you know, all that names that you mentioned there, I came across all of them and I studied them. I went to Tony Robbins, Unleash the Power Within as well. So I totally can relate with that. So 100%. I'm glad that you mentioned that and then share with that. Now, one of the things that I'd like to get your perspective from you on, you know, how important it is. Actually, before I go there, I want to ask, you know, you teach as well, right? There's you have courses, you teach other photographers. Now, how is that? You know, I think back when you first started, it's a lot more difficult to find people who teach photography, especially, you know, that have a structured course. There's a lot less option there. It's kind of like you go to university or, you know, something like that, or learning on your own. Now, you have taken a lot of mentor, and you're not worried about investing in yourself and upskilling your education, whether it is self-development, whether it's business, whether it's photography, as just you mentioned. How important it is to have a mentor for your success journey?
Oh, I think it's huge, because a mentor can help you in so many different ways. You know, like, not only can you learn from them, you know, their experiences, right? Their successes, their failures, you know, they can also hold you accountable. You know, they can inspire you, they can motivate you. So a mentor doesn't necessarily even have to be somebody that you work with one-on-one. Like, I consider Bob Proctor a mentor to me, even though I've never met him or, you know, attended like a seminar by him or anything. I've just experienced his teachings through audiobooks and, you know, physical books and YouTube and stuff like that. So a mentor is huge, and I do believe you get back what you invest, especially with like courses or something, because it increases your value and increases your belief in yourself, right? Which then warrants you to charge more because you're providing more value, more quality. So, yeah, a mentor is huge, and they can shave off, a lot of time in your journey because you're not necessarily figuring things out on your own, right? Like you're learning from their experiences, what's worked, what hasn't. I mean, you can experience something just by reading a book. Like you don't have to experience some trials and trial and error yourself. Waste of time. You can just read somebody else's and learn from it,
That's awesome. Yeah, I totally agree with you, and that's a really good point that you have there. Now, if you were to pick one mentor, right, whether it's through a book, through a master class, or even a one-on-one, is there a one mentor that really become the turning point of your career or become the linchpin of your career?
Yeah. Well, so going back to the waiting tables thing, I actually met a guy named Ryan Skinner through a group at my school that I was going to. So this guy, Ryan, is the one who introduced me to Think and Grow Rich. And that kind of started my whole like personal development journey. So, he told me to read Power of Positive Thinking from Norman Vincent Peale. He told me to read The Magic of Thinking Big. Told me to read Think and Grow Rich, The Science of Getting Rich, some other books as well. But yeah, I would say that he was like my first, like real mentor. And if I had to pick one that had the most impact on my life, I would say it's Bob Proctor, just because Bob Proctor got me to think in a different way and realize that I could provide so much more value than I was providing and multiply it through, online courses, or basically multiply the value that I put out into the world through different ways and create multiple sources of income and do different things. And it really, Bob Proctor did have the most impact on my belief, like in the personal development space, I think.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, Bob Proctor is really good at breaking the paradigm that we have, right? The thinking, just challenging the way our thinking and really reshaping that. So that's incredible. Now, I totally can see, and this is really incredible. I'm glad that I have you here today because it really show that you have work. Not only in your photography part of it, but also in yourself as well as the business part. And that's really showing in your success in this industry. So I just want to say, first of all, congratulations for making that happen. It's incredible. Going forward to that, right? It's really cool that we talk about the business side of things. I know that people are a lot of people wanting to pursue their passion in photography and be able to turn that into something that they do full time. I'm gonna kind of go back to the creativity side and your adventure side, right? You spend a lot of time on your sprinter van, and you have this really cool sprinter van as well. I know I've seen it. It's literally one of my dream is to have something like that. What got you into the fan living? What makes you want to just explore in your sprinter, explore different places and just live from it? I know that there are a lot of challenges that comes with the fan living, so it's not always comfortable. So yeah, I'd love to hear what is your inspiration and why you love to do that.
Yeah, so this is actually funny because this is actually going back to kind of like mentors again. So a gentleman reached out to me through Instagram, actually, probably in like 2017, 2018. His name was Josh the Burge. So he reached out and said, he was doing van life full time, and he's an entrepreneur. So this guy has a very interesting background, built a big real estate development company in Miami, a property management company, and then sold it. And, you know, he had the Maserati, he had the condo, he had everything, but he wasn't happy. So he sold all of his things, built a van, and then started traveling the world and, you know, had a different philosophy of like his thing is the Boondocker. You can look him up on Instagram, and his tagline is collect memories, not things. So he reached out to me and said he was passing through Tampa, and we met up, and he was a photography hobbyist. So we met up and he talked about how he wanted our photography. So he offered to, you know, have me come out and travel with him and teach him photography. So I did that a couple times. And when I traveled with him in this van, like I realized the freedom that that offered and, you know, the ability to like go somewhere, spend a week somewhere in one location instead of the way that I was doing things. I would fly somewhere and then have one day at this location that I'd have to move to the next location. And like, if I didn't get the conditions that I wanted, you know, it was like tough luck. I got to maybe come back another trip or something. Right. So he introduced me to the van life and I realized like all the benefits of, you know, the traveling in the van and being able to go where you want on a whim based off the weather, the conditions, the seasons and all these things. Right. So it was an eye opener for me. And it started that you know, goal in the back of my mind to like buy and build a van and travel in one. So he actually started a company building vans. And when I bought my Sprinter van, I had his company build it out down in South Florida. So yeah, that's what got me into it. It's just all the, you know, the flexibility and the freedom for photography and like going to different places that I wanted to, instead of having to, you know, buy plane tickets all the time and rent cars and all this stuff. So, but it comes with, you know, its perks and its cons for sure. Challenges, like you said.
Yeah, that's cool. I might need his contact when I'm ready to build one. But it's interesting that you mentioned that, you know, the freedom is absolutely beautiful living in a car and just be able to stay wherever you want to. And you say that it does come with, you know, both the perks as well as the challenges. What are some of the biggest challenges that you come across living in a van?
Yeah, so, well, first off, you need to find a place to sleep every night. There's an app called iOverlander that you can use to find different campsites. People upload, you know, different places in different cities. It's like pinned on a map. Basically, you can see where to find a place to sleep, where to find showers, you know, where to find fresh water to refill your tanks and all that stuff. So those are challenges, you know, basically finding some places to sleep, shower, or finding water, right? You know, sometimes when you're in a remote area, there's not very many restaurants, grocery stores, and all that stuff too. But another challenge that I've faced is just having a routine and a consistent workspace as well. So, you know, finding a coffee shop in a different place all the time to work at, finding Wi-Fi, that's challenging. Also, just not having a routine. Like, I like to go back and forth and, like, you know, experience kind of this complete freedom to where I could go do whatever I want and not have a routine. But I also like to, you know, rent a place like an apartment to settle down for a little bit and get some work done and do have a consistent routine, you know, a consistent place to go, you know, to the gym and go to work and have a shower and all this stuff too. Like, yeah, it's van life is, it's not for everybody. It's, you know, it is definitely challenging. And I salute anybody that can actually do it full time. I did full time probably for like a year, but this was probably my least productive year.
I bet you it's the funnest year you had though.
Yeah,
I know. Exactly.
You can make it work, you're gonna go a lot of places and experience a lot of things and meet a lot of people. You know, that's one of the pros.
And I remember when I used to, I was like living in like a just a pathfinder, just, you know, like put a bed on the back of it sort of thing, just like a small kit behind it. But I remember I start to appreciate, you know, fast food a lot more when you're in the van life, because, and you go to the all these remote places, because it's just like reminds you of the city and all that. And that's awesome. So going back to your photography, you know, you captured, man, like so many incredible photos from so many different places. What are some of your most memorable shot from your journey so far?
So I want to say Iceland. So, I mean, you're well aware that Iceland is like my second home. I've been there 17 times currently, and I teach workshops there. So I've had a lot of like very like magical moments in Iceland where, you know, I've like just had my mind completely blown, you know? So those are the first that come to mind. Lots of spots around the US as well, but, you know, my first instinct is to say Iceland. You know, I've had some crazy auroras. I've had some very rare conditions as well there.
Yeah, man, Iceland is such a beautiful place. I've never been myself, but it is on my bucket list, and it's just incredible. You know, I love seeing your aurora photos and all of this incredible shot from Iceland. It's just absolutely stunning.
They're, you know, insane. I've gotten to see two eruptions there and be there for the eruption and, you know, the progression of the volcanoes changing as well. And, you know, they morph into different landscapes and composition opportunities throughout their life cycle. It's really cool.
Yeah, the volcano eruption is absolutely stunning. I mean, it's insane. I love seeing your shots of it, and it's just breathtaking, you know. It's out of this world. Man, it's been really great, Chad. I love, you know, chatting to you about your photography, your adventure, as well as the business side of things. You know, how people what sort of thing that people need to do to if they want to pursue this for a full time. Now, one thing that I would like to know from your end is that what are some of the most memorable moments from this journey as a photographer? And if you ever thought that there could have been another life for you, not being a photographer, has that ever come through your mind?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, just the journey starting from taking photos of sushi with my phone to, you know, taking landscape shots and teaching photography and working with some amazing clients that like I can only dream of, you know, like that was never the plan, but it worked out amazingly, right? I did have a passion for music when I was younger. I've always been very entrepreneurial, like, I have a real big passion now for just entrepreneurism, like just, you know, like solving problems, creating value, you know, creating freedom. Like that's the biggest thing that I have from my photography businesses is freedom. Like I can just live my life on my terms. Like that is just priceless, you know, regardless of how much you're making or, you know, your successes or anything like that. If you can live life on your terms and do what you want when you want, that is success, in my opinion. So I like this that we got to talk about the business, because when I'm usually teaching photography and teaching, you know, through a conference or something, I'm always talking about the art part, right? Like creating and like technical stuff. But like the business is something that I'm super passionate about. I'm thinking of maybe actually starting to do coaching for business or coaching in the personal development. Personal development is also something I'm super passionate about too, right? But they're tied together, you know, like the personal development will lead to your success in business. I believe it's instrumental. So yeah, if I could see it myself in another life, I would be teaching people how to create business and freedom in their life, probably.
Yeah, that's incredible. I totally can see that, how it's very difficult to succeed in business if you don't develop yourself as a person. And, you know, it goes back to what you say earlier. If you don't, if you can't build confidence for yourself and be able to value who you are, then you can't put the value out there because people won't believe you, right? And right. Business is a lot about trust. So I love hearing that, you know, personal development is, I think, one of the most important thing to work on in our life. Well, John, it's been a really good conversation, and really enjoy chatting with you about the entrepreneurial side of things as well. And I didn't know that you have that much passion for the you know, being an entrepreneur. I mean, I know that you have the pro panel sort of plugin for Photoshop to do luminosity masking, which is fantastic, man. Like, you know, it's just great. Now, do you want to talk a little bit about how do you get into to that? Like, what makes you inspire? What inspires you to build this plugin to do to be able to edit faster and easier in Photoshop through luminosity masking?
Yeah, so that that was actually a byproduct of the courses. So when I first was introduced to luminosity masks and plugins, it was probably like 2017, 2018, I started using a plugin called Riot Pro. So I started creating courses in 2020, actually during, you know, the shutdown, lockdowns and everything. I all of a sudden had all this free time. My partner in the courses had free time as well. He had no more work booked. All this stuff was canceled. So we created courses. I was teaching people in my workshops and in the courses how to use, you know, Riot Pro. And I realized, like, you know, there's no reason that I should be promoting somebody else's product and my product. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, obviously. And even better if you can get a kickback and, you know, get a commission or something, that's a win-win, obviously. But I realized that I could create a plugin myself, a better version of it, in fact, and sell that along with my courses. So I created my plugin based off my experience with Riot Pro, but also my experience with other plugins. And basically, I wanted to correct what I thought was flawed with these other plugins and what was flawed based off of other people's feedback on these other plugins. I wanted to create a better version myself. So that's what sparked the, you know, the idea. And then, yeah, I mean, it was just a matter of working with a developer, hiring him, and then working with him for about 6 months it took to, you know, design everything and create all the functions and code it and everything like that, right? So, and that's been a trial and error process ever since. But the plugin wound up being like a huge hit for me. You know, like that actually wound up doing a lot better than the courses and workshops and stuff like that too. So you never know, like, how one idea can lead to another and, you know, like create a ripple effect, you know?
Yeah, that's incredible. I really enjoy the plugin. It's really, I love the interface. I love, you know, what are the different functions that the presets function that you've put in there. I myself never do, when I first got into luminosity masking, you know, somebody told me, it's like, oh yeah, you got to do luminosity masking. And I was like looking it up and just like, whoa, I definitely not doing that.
On luminosity masks this week, because it's such a confusing topic. You know, it's really challenging, but once you get a grasp on it and you practice, just like Photoshop is super intimidating, you know, too, which is another reason why we developed the plugin, is because, you know, to help people to use Photoshop easier. But yeah, once you understand the luminosity masks and you start to learn and implement them, it's like game changer, you know.
100%. I mean, I guess like it's just the steps, right? There's so many steps to get there, and your plugin kind of just cut all of that into just like one or two clicks. So that's the big thing behind that, I feel like, you know. So that's incredible. Really love, thanks for sharing that, John. Thanks for building that, you know, that luminosity masking. It's a game changer. Now, we're coming to the end of the podcast here. And one thing that I always ask my guests is, if there is one advice that you would give either to your younger self or audience out there, what would that advice be?
If there was one advice, I would advise people to figure out what they want in life and what they're passionate about, and then focus only on that and building a life around your passion that is working towards what you want. Because I think a lot of people settle and you know, work a job they hate or don't really have clearly defined goals. And then as a result, they kind of just drift and wander and they don't really have a purpose in life. So I think if you can find your passion and create businesses around that, solve problems for people related to your passion, and have some type of purpose, some type of goal and vision of how you want to live, I think that you're going to just continue to have success and be happy and fulfilled.
Amen to that. That is a great advice. I mean, one of the biggest advice, which was similar to what you said there, that I got from my old boss, was that he said, think about what sort of lifestyle you want and design what you do around that. And you basically summarized that very well. And that was just... what a great advice, John. That is one thing that I feel like most people are missing in this life. They start with the money, right? They needed the money, and then they're looking for more money. But what they didn't realize is that money doesn't solve all the problem. You know, so yeah, amazing. That is great. Well, John, thank you very much for being in. It's been a really good, it's been a pleasure having you here, having all of this advice for photographers, as well as for those photographers who want to become photopreneur. And how will they be able to reach out to you? What is the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, so Instagram, I spend way too much time on there. My Instagram is Where Is Weatherby. So you can find me on Instagram. My website is johnweatherby.com, and that has links to courses, workshops, prints, the pro panel, everything. So yeah, between those two, you can get in touch and you can find out anything you need.
Fantastic. Well, I'll make sure that I put that on the description below. So, yeah, don't worry. Just go to check out on the description below if you do, if you want to get in touch with him. John, thank you very much for being here. Thank you very much for being generous, not only with your time, but also with your knowledge and sharing the knowledge that you have accumulated over these past years, right? Some of these things are the stuff that many creatives or artists haven't even think about, you know, when they want to pursue their passion further. So thank you very much for sharing that and opening people's eyes.
No problem. Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Well, Wiki Hunters, there's a lot of golden nugget there. Hopefully you're taking a lot of notes, and make sure to check out John's profile on Instagram, as well as, you know, check out his courses, check out this pro panel. plugin because they are incredible. I've used them myself. I really enjoy them. But with that being said, you know, I love what John shared on that last advice because that really go hand in hand with this, the theme of the podcast, which is giving people hope, purpose, and happiness through photography. Well, with that being said, hopefully you enjoyed this episode and I'll catch you guys next week.